Welcome to the Community for Coaches podcast, where we help coaches intentionally and effectively use sports to transform lives.
It's such a process because it's not a, there's nothing like get fit quick type of scheme. You know, you got to really like buy into it and be like, man, a month from now, I might be just a little bit better. And then a couple months from now, I might be a little bit better. And you see ups and downs with like times and performances, but once you start stacking, like, you know, 6 months on top of a year and then a year over a year, that's really where you go to start to see like some compound kind of gains. And so.
All right. Well, hello and welcome to the Community for Coaches podcast. I'm Ryan Kriskowski here with Alec Lemon, and it is Coach of the Year season. And out of all of our Coach of the Year podcasts, this is a special one because we've got our Rising Star Award winner, Mr. Anders Hansen. Anders, thanks for joining us, and I'm looking forward to this conversation. So much to talk about with you as it relates to coaching and your story and kind of where you are and what you're doing. But yeah, thanks again for being with us. And Alec, I'm going to kick it over to you to get the ball rolling.
Well, congrats on being nominated, Anders. Excited to have you on here and just hear more about your story and how you got into coaching. So could you start us off with just sharing a little bit about how you got into coaching and sort of your sports experience growing up?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on here, guys. So started out, I mean, growing up, sports was kind of everything. And I feel like my brother and I's upbringing, and he kind of laid the blueprint, I feel like, for what whatever he did, I tried to just kind of follow in his footsteps. So he wanted to do basketball, I played basketball. If he wanted to run track and cross country, I was like, I got to run cross country and track. So really started at a young age there. And my dad actually coached us both too. He was a baseball assistant coach and basketball coach, and helped us out in just kind of a lot of areas. So I guess it was from a young age that got started. But ultimately, you know, through youth sports and playing in high school, and then having the, you know, fortune to play at also kind of at the collegiate level a little bit and run track and cross country there. It was shortly after that I felt coaching was probably a good thing for me to continue to do it. Overall, I think it's just been kind of in my blood and part of who I am that it's just ultimately something that I think I just want to kind of continue doing throughout my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about just where did you go to school again, like high school and college? Could you share about those experiences?
Yeah. So grew up in Olathe, went to Olathe East High School. And up until that point, I was mainly kind of baseball, basketball focused. And then, you know, running was kind of on the side. And then freshman year, ran cross country and track, and ended up just kind of falling in love with that and ditched the other sports altogether. So all 4 years, cross country and track, had excellent like coaching staff there as well. Had a coach Daniels, and then our current head coach, actually Coach Jacob Gunn. And he was actually the officiator of our wedding. So really close ties with Coach Gunn. And it's just been a blast to kind of coach alongside him now. And then during college, I went out to a small school out in Colorado, actually. Again, I think a huge draw to the school was actually the coach there. His name was Coach Pogue. And, you know, obviously Colorado is not a bad place if you're going to be a distance runner. It's awesome with altitude training and beautiful trails and everything. But so Colorado Christian, you know, it's a small school, and the program really had no foundation to it at all. I wouldn't say there was any foundation. It was really just bare dirt. And meaning the school, you have to have five runners to complete a cross country race. That's like a team score. For your team to score, you got to have five. And this team had like three or four occasionally. And the coach would just go around campus and be like, hey, can you walk an 8K for us this weekend? Like, just finish. I mean, it was a small school, and like, it was really early phase. So there were weekends like that, and they had, a number of, you know, opportunities to grow. And I kind of saw that and kind of be an immediate impact on the team. You know, you're not going to be like a redshirt or coming in trying to, you know, necessarily like fight for that fight for that top five or top seven spot. So we joined, and man, the trajectory of kind of when we came in and when I left as a senior, and then like where it is today, honestly, Hollywood could take it and make a pretty good movie, I think, out of it, because the turnaround and the success of it was is pretty miraculous. I don't think many people would understand the turnaround time unless you're really like in it, you know, within the team and like understanding where it came from to like where it is now, because people now kind of know who Colorado Christian is. I think they were runner up 2 years ago, and this year I think they were like fifth on the guys' side and 10th on the girls' side at cross country nationals. So like they're a top 25 team year round, but prior to that, man, it was just a building process, and it's really fun to be in that early stage, I think, and it just draws a lot of fun out of it, like looking back on it and kind of reminiscing on what it was and where it is now ultimately.
Well, that's got to make you feel pretty good to look and see where that program is now and know that you played some role in helping build that foundation that didn't exist when you showed up there. That's got to be pretty satisfying.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're going to build something right, you need some of those early kind of cultivators to get the culture right. And, you know, you're bringing in new faces every year, and you're kind of wet clay at that point, right? You can mold it how you want to. And it's great to see, you know, that sustained now too. You can kind of hit a peak and then come down or something, but they've continued to stay consistent at the top. So it's continue to fun to follow, follow the team and see where they're taking it.
Yeah, cool.
What's your perspective on like the key to their success or some things that were helpful for them on kind of their progression
forward? Yeah. There's, I love running because it's a really simple sport. Our coach, I feel like every week at some point, you know, we'd kind of have our meetings, start practice. And when he got the mic, he'd be like, all right, guys, you know what we're going to do today? We're going to run today. And like, it was just, it's a really simple statement because, you know, if you want to become a better runner, you got to run and you got to run more. But there's also a lot of like science behind the sport too. And like how much you run, what type of run you do different day, and kind of how you structure that ultimately. And in order to really, I think, see a lot of success, you have to have like buy-in from the runners of just kind of like following a training plan. It's such a process because it's not a, there's nothing like get fit quick type of scheme. You know, you got to really like buy into it and be like, man, a month from now, I might be just a little bit better. And then a couple months from now, I might be a little bit better. And you see ups and downs with like times and performances. But once you start stacking like, you know, 6 months on top of a year and then a year over a year, that's really where you go to start to see like some compound kind of gains. And so, but once you see that, man, you just feed on it and you just keep wanting to get better and better. And so I guess it's a little bit of a addictive sport in that way, where you're just kind of constantly chasing like that next run. I think that's a big part of our success there.
Yeah.
That's really cool. And Anders, you mentioned Jacob Gunn, former finalist for Metro KC Coach of the Year, but you know, your relationship with Coach Gunn and actually your position there coaching distance runners at your old high school, a little bit unusual. Most high school coaches are school employees, you know, teachers and whatnot. I'm sure you see yourself as something of a teacher in your coaching role, but how did you take your work outside of the school district and then also make that work with coaching high school?
Yeah. So I am really fortunate. I've worked for a company that I actually get to kind of work remote from. So I'm in Kansas City, of course, but the company's based out of Boston. So thankfully our actual founder of the company, work for a startup. There's only eight of us, but the founder of the company actually played in the NFL. So he's a big sports guy. The company is based around sports. And so we've got, you know, everyone within the company has some kind of sports background, whether it was, you know, high school, college, or professionally. And so he sees kind of the importance of coaching. He's done it a good amount of years as well within football. And so he was, you know, when I asked, kind of came to ask him on a meeting, hey, like, I've got this opportunity to coach at my old high school. You know, is that something you'd be open to? I understand this isn't like a full-time position or anything, but he was all for it. He loved the idea of it. He loves coaching and kind of understands the importance of the high school age too. That's kind of been his primary focus. And so that was huge. And then getting to coach too along Jacob Gunn, who's been a huge mentor, not just for my brother and kind of his upbringing through middle school and high school, but also mine. He was assistant coach at the time for me while I was in high school, and got to take over that head position. And it's been really fun, you know, getting to see him now kind of every day, and just continuing to like foster that relationship has been really, really cool back at Olathe East. So although I am not, you know, in the facility every day, he is kind of a huge proponent for that, where, you know, kids can't come by the classroom and be like, hey coach, what's the workout today or something like that. You know, Jacob kind of fills that role. But you know, I try and be there as much as I can. You know, I kind of clock out for my day and then head over to the track and then, you know, come back and hop back on work, a bit in the evenings as well. But it's been fun. It's a fun work break in my day. Definitely have made the schedule worth it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Tell us about kind of your first year or two coaching. Kind of how has that gone? What have you learned? What's been good about it?
Yeah, it's been a blast, man. A lot of learning, a lot of failures of things you got to just smooth out. Last fall was, or this is our second year, but you know, last year was our first year as a staff. So it was Jacob's first year as head coach, my first year as an assistant, and then we also have another gal, Kelsey, helping out too. So it was our first year kind of all together. So it was just a learning experience for all of us. You know, we had ideas and kind of what roles we'd fill for coaching, but it's been great. We our first fall for cross country, we actually, it was kind of a really cool moment. We got our boys and girls qualified for the state meet, and that hadn't happened in a number of years too. And so you know, regionals, your top three make it to state, and you know, guys ended up actually having a great race and won the regional. And then the girls were like fighting for that third spot, and they solidified it that day. So it's just like a really good collective success day that I call it, which I think is the coolest kind of coaching moments, is when you see the collective success of a group. It's always fun, you know, being able to celebrate individuals' PRs or run a new fast time on the track. But man, when you hit the guys' team and the girls' team together, and they both like crush it on the same day, like, you can't do anything better than that. So that was a really cool moment, getting both of them to the state. And unfortunately, the guys ended up, I think they got second. So we got second that year. And but it's been great. We're continuing to learn and trying to grow the program as well, like just in numbers, trying to grow the team. But it's been great, and hopefully continue to do it for a number of years.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. What a cool story. What a special day, man. That's a great memory. Thanks for sharing. Mm-hmm. Love that.
Yeah, totally. What's kind of like, how has sort of, you know, you come from a family of, you know, being around coaching, your brother coach. How has that kind of, I assume you've kind of developed sort of some like a why for coaching, like, how has that influenced your early years of coaching?
Yeah, I'm really, really fortunate for that. I, you know, I've played a number of sports and obviously gone through a number of coaches, and mine have really been like exceptional, I feel like, from obviously my dad and getting to work alongside my brother and his coaching, and just all the other ones in between growing up. Man, I got to shout out a few of these of Coach Esparza. I played baseball with him from kindergarten all the way up to high school. And we saw a lot of success too, just as a youth program. He was just a huge influence and still really great friends with his son and entire family. And And then back at the high school level with Gunn and Coach Daniels, and then again at in college, Coach Pogue, and still in great relation there. And I like to pick his brain a bit and continue to try and do things that he's doing or implementing more in his training or in the team and stuff. But really fortunate enough to have so many great coaches in my life, and I just kind of get to choose the golden nuggets of each of them, I feel like, and try and just mold it together into what I try and do within our program too. So a lot of time I've spent being, of course, on the athlete side, but then it's a little different once you get to the coaching side of things too. So you have to kind of pick and choose what kind of philosophy or decision making that you want to do on kind of how you how you mold the program and what you expect of the kids, and just laying those foundations down now in year two. But starting to get a little smoother with those types of scenarios.
Yeah. You're in year two of coaching in some senses, officially. What do you think, if you were to project out in 10 years, the kids that are playing for you now, 10 years from now, what do you hope they'll say kind of about the experience of playing for you or on the team?
Yeah. Looking back, I hope that a lot of our athletes just see really the sincere dedication I think I have just for the sport as a whole. It's something, again, once it's in your blood, I feel like it's hard to leave. A lot of runners kind of, once you start running, it seems like you don't really stop at some point. You just kind of continue to carry it throughout your life. So hopefully that's definitely something they see or acknowledge kind of in my coaching involvement. And then ultimately just a lot of skills and values, hopefully, that they can take away from coaching and team. And, running isn't always just about, trying to see how fast you can run. We try and zoom out to a bigger picture of this is high school for them, and it's such a great time in their lives. And Coach Gunn always refers to it as right now, and since the dawn of world, he feels high school is just almost at its hardest point of trying to be a high school kid and just live a regular life. And you've got social media, and you've got so much, all high school kids have pressure, and you got grades and trying to just figure out your life as all high schoolers are. And then you throw in a lot of sports and athletics, and it's just a tough time. And so for us to be there kind of with them as a support role, I think in a lot of ways, and whatever ways that we can, and just try and direct them in the right path, I think is a really, really great part about coaching at this stage. And hopefully that, kids can look back on it and be like, man, I'm really glad I had that support role at the time, or ongoing, I can continue to be that support role.
That is, really well said. Good stuff there. And so, Anders, you've mentioned your brother a couple times, and honestly, I purposely haven't gone here up until now, but your brother Lars casts a pretty big shadow. He's kind of a mini celebrity here in the KC area, and maybe even more than a mini celebrity. He might be a micro celebrity.
Yes.
But he is he's also a former recipient of this Rising Star Award that you are now receiving this year. If you could maybe talk just a little bit about, more specifically, about what the impact that your brother's had on you, and kind of how that's shaped your view of sports and coaching and whatnot.
Yeah, no, he's a major celebrity here in Kansas City. You can't take him out of his house and he's gonna see someone that he knows. And every time I go out to eat with him, it's someone shouting out Lars. So yeah, he's definitely a celebrity in the area. I feel like I owe him a lot, because he kind of set the blueprint, like I said, for me just growing up. I just was able to just follow in his footsteps. He saw a lot of success, so I figured I might just follow in his footsteps, and I'll maybe get a dash of his success too. So, he started his actually coaching journey when I was in, I think, fourth grade. And started coaching just in the summertime in our backyard. It was just me and my buddies, baseball and basketball friends. And there was 10 kids, and we'd meet up 3 times a week in our backyard and just do some summer training. It was some agility and strength training in our backyard. And all of a sudden that like grew and grew and grew. And so every summer we'd see more and more kids showing up in the Hanson backyard. And, you know, the next summer it kind of doubled and then grew more. And then, you know, you start getting complaints from the other neighbors of like, hey, there's so many cars in this neighborhood. Like, what are we going to do? And so, ultimately had to like start using the middle school track and we'd meet there. And now he's grown.
And that's when my family got involved because three of my sons were a part of those years.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So yeah, at the middle school track. And then now he's actually got the, Shields training facility in the summer. And he's also got, like a brick and mortar place too, over by the, California Trail Middle School too. So he's seen great success with it. You know, all the kids and the parents that interact with Lars, there's a reason that, you know, it's continues to grow and kids continue to show up for him. And, he's just a huge, huge impact in their lives. And, I don't know the exact statistic, but, if you guys were to Google kind of the success of starting a gym, it's really low. Like restaurants fail a lot. And I think gyms is probably the second one. And it's really cool to see because he's just continued to succeed as like a business owner, entrepreneur. And that's, you know, like his full-time thing. That's what he loves doing, loves being an impact with the kids. And he coaches, man, I don't know how many thousands of kids now have gone through Lars's gym, but it's really, really cool to see. And, obviously I'm lucky cause I got to go through that same program. I got to coach with him and, that definitely kind of fostered some of the coaching stuff that I implement today.
Awesome. Yeah, no, thanks, sir. Thanks for indulging me. Like I said, this isn't the Lars show, it's the Anders show, but
yeah.
we'd be remiss not to at least give him a mention.
That's right. That's right.
Well, what advice do you have for you? You've been that younger coach getting into it, learning the ropes, learning from other people. Like, how did you get into coaching and then like absorb the wisdom around you? Like what was your process for kind of growing as a coach and learning?
Yeah, I think growing as a coach, a lot of it has stemmed from just being in it a lot. You know, often hear like the 10,000 hour rule where, you know, as long as you put in the time, you're going to at least start to continue to see success. So that's definitely, you know, I feel like I've done my time, but obviously a lot of high school coaches are older and have been doing a lot longer. So try and at least take the bits of pieces and advice that I've learned through the years and implement that. And then I also, you know, as nerdy as it is, I like to continue to, you know, watch track and field professionally. I like to, most of my Instagram feed, I feel like is just like professional runners and studies, like scientific studies I get through. So I'm always at least trying to learn something and see what training philosophy or coaching philosophies are out there. I think a couple in this space is like Steve Magnus. He writes a lot of great books and material, and he's always got really kind of just down to earth type coaching. And so yeah, always trying to kind of better yourself within the space. I think that's really important in any role or career path. Just continue to try and learn and grow yourself and skill set. And then I think, just continuing to, implement kind of coaching with at the, or like kind of the relational level, I think is kind of one of the bigger takeaways as well. So, continuing to build the relationships, you know, you only have a kid for 4 years in high school. So it's like, how can I maximize building that relationship for 4 years before they go off and maybe I never see him again, you know, but like, how can I have that like lasting impact on them? So I think that's another great kind of skill set or tool that maybe continue to grow.
Yeah. One of our other questions is what's the difference between a transformational and a transactional coach? And you kind of mentioned that there. What would you say is sort of, if you were to contrast those two, how would you break them down?
Yeah, as much as I am a dire kind of nut for the sport, and love to get into the weeds of like training and you know, getting faster and getting PRs and winning, like I am a competitor too. So I love to win. There's nothing better than that too. But if you're a coach, you got to like zoom out too. You got to realize that there's something bigger than this, than just the L's and W's and seeing that progression. And so when you zoom out to the bigger picture, it's all about the individuals that you get to coach. And again, 4 years with them, you know, they've got big decisions, whether they're, you know, seniors and kind of going on to either college or, you know, someday having a family. You know, they're going to have, like me, in high school, you never think about like the family, the career path stuff. But I think our coaching staff does a great job of just trying to like implement those things of that character building as a team, and understanding like, this is going to be you one day. And hopefully some of the skill sets, the value and core values and beliefs, kind of we can implement and be a great impact for them years and years ahead of us.
Ryan, you got any final follow-up questions? You ready to wrap it up?
This has been great. Anders, really, really do appreciate your heart. Thank you for the work that you do, the impact that you are having and will continue to have on the young people of our community. This is a better place because of you and coaches like you. So just wanted to thank you for that.
Hey, thank you guys. Thank you guys so much for having me. I appreciate it. Appreciate the time.
Thanks for joining us on the show today. If you want to learn more about Community for Coaches or our guest, you can check the show notes. I'll put some links in there to our website and contact info. And until next time, keep coaching with purpose.